This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Thank you. This wonderful couple in New York City, Linda and Stuart Nelson, they're music patrons and they are passionate about music. They actually offered a few years ago to underwrite anyone to write a sonata for me. And Steve Stuckey's name came into my mind right away because I've known Stephen for a long time and I admire his work greatly. And he's also a wonderful person, very funny, very with a great sense of humor and an incredibly knowledgeable person. And I enjoy always talking to him. And so I approached Stephen to write a sonata because I'm always craving for more recital material beyond Summerfest. And Stephen said, you know, I've never written a violin sonata. How about, yeah, I like that idea. Let's do it.
Has a conductor because there are too many people talking at once, and somebody has to be a traffic cop and make overall artistic decisions. In chamber music, you discuss these things until you sort them out. And so you can write a violin sonata or a string quartet, piano trio, in a way that leaves open those opportunities for negotiation. At the same time, I'm so interested in the coloristic aspect of music that I keep that orchestral point of view in chamber music as well. Ways of using instruments are just as important as what they say, how they say it. We're a long way, some of us now, from the sort of dark ages of mid-20th century music when things like themes and repetition were completely not in the language. I'm not sure why things have turned again, but I think some of us have become comfortable with the idea that our relationship with the great works of the past is something positive and nourishing, not something to be run away from. Of musical languages now in use, from very abstruse to very transparent, from very academic to very nakedly emotional. I think that range itself is a very healthy sign of musical culture. You know, the relationship between composers and consumers of the music and performers is, I think, healthier and warmer now than it was 50 years ago.
Thank you.
I've known John better and better in recent years. Last year, he wrote a violin sonata for John Kiyomura Parker and me. We premiered it here in La Jolla during Summerfest, and we later brought it to New York, and it's been a wonderful run of that particular work. And Peggy Pearson, this wonderful oboist from Boston, has known John for a long time and brought up the subject of a work that involves oboe, but not necessarily highlighting the oboe as a solo instrument, by John Harbison. And I thought, well, if we're already on a roll with John Harbison, why not continue our wonderful association? And so John thought about a song cycle based on Louis Gluck's poems.
But it's easy to give things up like this.
There's not complicated syntax most often, which is always difficult to make clear in music because you stretch out and can kind of lose the flow. I recognize her to be a poet who really values the words, that they, when you bring a little bit more emphasis and pause on words, you find as you set them, they react in different ways. And I've set a lot of poetry, and my immediate experience with hers was they held a lot of space.
We're very fortunate that we've got a, such a high-skilled singer that we can put vocal cues. Many vocal performances, you guys get the score and you work out like a string quartet and say, hang on, hang on.
Smaller works, I usually take more cognizance of individual personalities that I can actually imagine playing and singing. And I usually think about a large space for an orchestra, needing to fill the space, needing to account for a kind of traveling, you know, a kind of length of the shot, you know. And in chamber music, you can work with a smaller space and in certain kinds of detail that you might not. Though they're often very close. The things that are very different about genres are more, say, in the vocal world, song and opera, which are very different. In song, the audience often has a text to read if they want to. The text is often quite dense and has a kind of literary value to it. In opera, literary value is very secondary, and clarity of the short phrase is very important, and you are working in a medium where you don't expect everyone to get every word, but you wanted them to get every situation.
I think the Bartók Sonata is not often performed because it's so hard. It's incredibly challenging for every player. And I'm very lucky this year we had not only two superb pianists in Joseph Kallikstein and Joyce Yang, but two great percussionists, Marcus Rotten and Steve Schick. After almost 80-some years, the Bartók does not sound dated at all. The sonata is as fresh vibrant and challenging to the ear and the mind as it would have been back in the 1930s. And that just speaks, you know, so greatly for the power of Bartók's music. And, you know, if you were to ask any of these musicians involved in the Bartók, they probably would say Bartók is probably harder or just as tough on getting the notes and the rhythm right as any current contemporary composer's works. And Bartók, you know, was decades and decades ahead of everybody. It's amazing. And I'm very glad that I got to hear this great work here.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.